Good evening. Once again, I welcome you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus. I trust that you have a delectable lunch that will not cause you to be too drowsy for this time of worship. And I hope that you have a very blessed time of fellowship with one another. Now, turning our attention to the Word of God, through our previous study of Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, we learn that the Beatitudes are describing the marks of the work of grace in the heart of a regenerate believer. But we should not stop there. The manifestation of the Beatitudes in the lives of a believer does not come just by studying it or understanding it. We must not stop at just knowing what are the marks of a genuine believer. Our next step, I suggest, is to pray. Pray earnestly that God, through His Holy Spirit, will imprint the Beatitudes on your hearts, on my hearts, more and more each day, that we may bring glory to the name of Christ. Therefore, with this in mind, I thought it is good to go into a series of study on prayer. And I like to go into the study of the Lord's Prayer with you, which was what the Lord Jesus did in teaching His disciples the principles of prayers. So fast forward from the Beatitudes to Matthew 6 in verses 9 to 13, we are presented here in the Lord's Prayer a model prayer for Christians to follow, or to be sure, a model prayer for us to learn to pray. The Lord's Prayer, as it is commonly known, is not meant as a prayer for anyone to recite, nor is it for us to use conveniently when we run out of words to pray. Neither should the Lord's Prayer be employed ritually, like some do in the worship services, as though God will pay special attention to us when we use this prayer. I believe that this prayer was never intended for universal use. The Lord Jesus, as we look at the text, taught it not to all men, but to His disciples. And it is a prayer adapted only to those who are the possessors of grace and are truly converted. The Lord's Prayer is not for the use of non-believers who knows not God as their Father. It is entirely out of place for the non-believers to use the Lord's Prayer. Another observation here is that this prayer was not intended to be used by us, the believers, as a constant form of prayer. It seems to me that the Lord Jesus gave it as a model whereby we are to fashion all our prayers, or to frame all our prayers. And I think we may use it to edification and with great sincerity and earnestness at certain times and seasons, but not repetitiously as a compensation for our lack of prayer, or in replacement of other prayers, as though we have no other prayers to pray, and we must use this repetitiously all the time. Nevertheless, let us, the believers, those of us who are in Christ, let us take up this prayer reverently for our application, as it comes directly. Do you notice that this prayer? It comes directly from our Savior's lips to His disciples and to us. If you want to know how the Lord Jesus prayed to His Father in heaven, look at this prayer. Let those Christians who say that they do not know how to pray consider the pattern of this prayer carefully so as to know the way to pray. There is no excuse for you. I know there are young or new Christians who say, oh, I'm afraid to pray, or I do not know how to pray. Well, here you have a model prayer. Here you have the pattern for you to learn how to pray. Let the Lord's Prayer be the model and the pattern of all our other prayers. If we are to avoid error in our prayers, this prayer will prevent that. If we desire God to grant us our requests, this prayer will direct us to pray according to His will. When we pray, how do we know that we will be praying according to God's will? It's when we pray according to the pattern Jesus has set here. As we go into the detailed meditation of this model prayer, I pray that the principles learned from this prayer will shape all our other prayers, and that it will draw us nearer to the throne of heavenly grace with boldness, as a child coming to a loving Father. Let us, brothers and sisters in Christ, approach the throne of grace boldly to tell forth to our Heavenly Father our wants, our sorrows, our heart's desire, whatever you may be, situation you may be in. Let us come to Him to pour out our hearts to Him, because He is our Heavenly Father. Those of us who are in Christ, we have this invitation to come, because here we are told from the beginning, our Father, and we who are His children, we can come and pour forth to Him in the language which the Holy Spirit teaches us. So to commence this study, we first want to consider the nature of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, you see that it contains all that the believers can reasonably or innocently pray for. There is nothing which we have need to ask of God, nothing which we can ask without offending Him, which is not included, either directly or indirectly, in this short but comprehensive form of prayer. It's all inclusive. Do you notice that? Secondly, it contains all that the believers can reasonably or innocently desire. Not only just pray for, but desire. Whatever is for the glory of God. Whatever is needful or profitable. Not only for ourselves and the church, but for every creature in heaven and on earth. And indeed, our prayers, brethren, are the proper test of our desires. What we may not pray for, neither should we desire. Thirdly, this model prayer contains all our duty to God, and not only to God, but to man also. Whatsoever things are pure and holy, whatsoever God requires of us as children of God, whatsoever is acceptable in His sight, whatsoever it is whereby we may profit our neighbor or even ourselves, all are being expressed or implied in this, the Lord's Prayer. Next, we want to move on to observe here the constituents of the Lord's Prayer. Look at the text proper And there you notice there are two things noticeable. First, we have the introduction to the prayer, and secondly, the prayer itself. The introduction to the Lord's Prayer is, "After this manner, pray ye." The Lord Jesus, in these few words, gave to his disciples and gave to us what the Puritan writer Thomas Watson called the directory for prayer. As God prescribed Moses a pattern of the tabernacle in Exodus 25:9, so Christ here prescribed for us a pattern of prayer. What is meant here is that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, should be the rule and the model according to which believers frame their prayers. Notice that Jesus did not say, "After these words, pray ye." What did Jesus say there? "After this manner." And that is to tell us, let all our petitions agree and be in tune with all the things contained in the Lord's Prayer. Next, the prayer itself, you will notice, consists of three parts. First, you have the preface, the petitions, and then the doxology or the conclusion of the prayer. The preface, "Our Father which art in heaven," lays for us a general foundation for prayer, comprising what we must first know of God before we can pray in confidence of being heard. It likewise points out to us that the manner or the deportment with which we are to approach the throne room of God, which are most essential requisite if we desire either our prayers or our life to be acceptable to Him. This prayer not only gave us the pattern, but it also tells us how we ought to come in that spirit, in the right spirit, that is. Having looked at the nature of the Lord's Prayer, the constituents of the Lord's Prayer, for the third section of this evening sermon, we want to concentrate on this very wonderful part. First of all, we want to look at the preface of the Lord's Prayer. The preface to this prayer includes two parts: "Our Father," and the second part is "Which art in heaven." I want to bring out this to us, "Our Father." It is such a wonderful discovery for myself as I read and meditate on this prayer. The word "Father" is sometimes taken personally. For example, in John 14:28, Jesus says, "My Father is greater than I." But here in the Lord's Prayer, the Father in the present context is taken essentially for the whole deity. This title, Father, teaches us that we must address ourselves in prayer to God alone. There is no such thing. If you ever come across teachings that says our saints or angels that are in heaven hear my prayer, it is totally not in the scripture. Here you do not find the Lord teaching us to say our saints or angels that are in heaven hear my prayer, but the Lord Jesus teaches us, "Our Father which art in heaven." Therefore, believers must direct their prayers to no other beings at all, but to God alone, which would include the other two persons, namely God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And this is the case because the three persons are the same in essence, and they subsist in one Godhead. So in our prayers, though we name but one person, we in essence are praying to all, the three person in the Godhead. Now I want to consider with you further the first part of the preface, Our Father. And I want to help us to see such a wonderful starting of this prayer, Our Father. In what sense is God a Father to us, the believers? In what sense? First of all, by creation. We are created in the image of God. It is God that has made us, and we are told what? In Acts 17:28, we are also His offspring. So therefore, first of all, God, our God, is a Father to us, the believers, because we are created in His image. But what is more glorious, what is more wonderful than by creation is that God, our Father, or God is a Father to the believers by election. And this is exclusive, my friends, exclusive, by election. This is exclusively for the children of God only. For God has chosen a certain number before the foundation of the world to be His children. Angels are also created by God. And there are fallen angels, and they can claim that they are also, God is their Father by creation. But they cannot, like the believer, claim that God is a Father to them by election. And you see the beauty of this when the Lord brings this out. And I was so happy to discover that. And I just want to share it with you, brother and sisters in Christ, that the Lord's Prayer, every time we just recite it, and I have done it so many umpteen times in our worship services, without really actually looking into all these words. And as I studied it, especially reading the books by all these Puritan writers, it is so insightful, so wonderful to know that this God, is the Father to us believers by election. For God has chosen us. And we are told in Ephesians 1:4, He has chosen us in Him. So if you are a Christian, God is a Father to you because He has chosen you to be His. Thirdly, I want us to see here, God is a Father to the believers by special grace. How is this so? He consecrates the elect by His Spirit and infuses a divine principle of holiness into us, the believers. Therefore, believers are said to be what? Born of God. 1 John 3:9. Born of God. Only those who are thus sanctified can say from the bottom of their heart, Our Father which art in heaven. Is this not wonderful news, brothers and sisters in Christ? And this should encourage you, brethren, to pray to the Lord, not just for the imprint of the Beatitudes, but for all your other prayers. Come to the throne room of God, because God is a Father to us, His children, by creation, by election, by special grace. In this third part of the sermon, I want to go on to talk about the character of God, our Father. I want to go deeper into the first part of this preface, Our Father. And we can safely conclude that God must be the best of all fathers if we call Him our Father. He is in fact the Father of all fathers. How can this be? How can this be so? The answer is simple. Let me bring out to you the answer. God is the best of all fathers because He is infinitely perfect. You can never find another father like him. How many of you fathers here can claim that you are a perfect father? Raise your feet, please. See? It's proven. Right? None can say that they are... No fathers can say that they are perfect fathers. Neither, of course, is there perfect mothers. You can never find another father like him. Matthew 5:48 tells us, your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Our earthly fathers cannot match the perfectness of our heavenly Father because they are mortal, because they are human beings. And as human beings, they are weak, full of infirmities. But God, our Father, is immortal and perfectly good beyond measure. All the perfection we can arrive at in this life, in our life, is sincerity. But it will not and cannot equal God, who is infinitely perfect. Now, another wonderful thing. Beside his perfection, God is the best of all fathers. Listen to this. Because in him is full of wisdom. He is infinitely wise. The only wise God, says Paul in 1 Timothy 1:17. God our Father has perfect knowledge and he has perfect idea of wisdom in himself. He does not need anyone to teach him anything at all or to impart knowledge to him. He knows the best means to bring about his own perfect designs. All this cannot be said of our earthly father or earthly parent. They do not know everything in their counsel to their children, and they may not know what is best for their child because they are human, as I said, and their knowledge is limited. But God is a most wise father. He knows what comfort is best for you. He is the only wise God who knows. And this definitely earthly fathers cannot do. Listen to this. He is the only wise God who knows how to make evil things work for the good to his beloved children. Romans 8:28. He knows. Can earthly fathers do that? When their children are in big trouble, oh, they will hit the roof. They do not know what to do. They will tear their hairs, perhaps. Know not what to do with our children who go wavered. But God, our Heavenly Father, He knows exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, to turn this wavered child around. God is the best of all fathers. Next thing. God is the best of all fathers in respect to his riches. We are told in Ephesians 3:8, God has what? Unsearchable riches. He gives the hidden manna, the tree of life, the rivers of joy. He has storehouses full of treasures that cannot be exhausted. Can our earthly fathers, do our earthly fathers have all this? How many storehouses do you have, fathers? Earthly fathers is not able to give all the time. But God, our Heavenly Father, is ever giving to his children and yet has not the less. His riches are imparted, not impaired at all. He cannot be poor who is infinite. Therefore, those who are in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a father who gives more to his children than any earthly father or prince can bestow. What a wonderful God we have in this Heavenly Father. In addition to his riches, God is the best of all fathers because he can and He will reform His wayward children. When His child goes astray or make a wrong turn, God knows how to make him or her turn around and make them better. He can change the heart of a wayward and rebellious child. Earthly fathers, at best, can teach and admonish their children, but they can never alter the course or change the heart. God can polish prodigals with His grace and make them fit for the inheritance. This is the Heavenly Father that we have, brothers and sisters in Christ. God is the best of all fathers. There's one more point. God is the best of all fathers because He never dies. 1 Timothy 6:16 says what? God only have immortality. Earthly fathers die, and their children are left to many dangers and injuries, but God lives forever and ever. And this is the beautiful verse from Revelation 1:8 that confirms this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the ending. And I like this from Thomas Watson, and I want to quote it to you. God's crown, he says, Thomas Watson, God's crown has no successor. Isn't that wonderful? God's crown has no successors. His kingdom is forever and ever. So, having considered this briefly, and I'm sure, and I would like to encourage you to go back to add to the list and ask yourself why our God is the best of all fathers to you. I want you and I encourage you to go back and do it and add to the list that I have listed. Beside His perfection, His goodness, and He's the best father because He reformed His children. Go back and think about it and ask yourself, why is God, your Heavenly Father, the best of all fathers to you? And add to that list. And so, in conclusion, if God is a father to us, His children, and as I said, then He is a good God, then He's a good father, and He is a loving father to His children. And here, brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing that God is the best of all fathers, here is the first and great reason for us to come before His throne of grace to pray. And I'm glad I did not collaborate this with Dr. Martin. I somehow caught that part when he talked about prayer a little bit, I think, when I came down from the top. And so, he is also encouraging you to pray. And God is willing to bless. And so let us ask for a blessing. Our Father, our Creator, the author of our being, He who raised us from the dust of the earth, who breathed into us the breath of life, and we became living souls. If God made us, created us in His image, then let us ask, and He will not withhold any good thing from the work of His own hands. Our Father, our Preserver, who day by day sustains the life He has given, in Him and through Him, every moment, we His children receive what? Receive life and breath and all things needful for this life. So therefore, the more boldly let us come to Him, and we shall, as we are told, obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Above all, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all who believe in Him, who justifies us freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus, who have blotted out all our sins and healed all our infirmities, who have received us for His own children by what? By adoption and grace, And because we are sons and daughters of God, and has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, and who have gotten us, or begotten us again of the incorruptible seed, and created us anew in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we know that He hears us always. Therefore, we pray to Him without ceasing. We pray because we love, and we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, think of this again. If you are much troubled right now, discouraged, fearful, downcast, perplexed, disturbed by many and ruffled by many affairs around you, the troubles, I hope you see and have a little further understanding of this, that you have a God who is your Heavenly Father, who loves you and gave Himself for you. You are His child, and if you are His child, united to Him through the Holy Spirit, you can come just as you are and pray to Him and cry out to Him and pour out your heart to Him, and He understands, for He is our High Priest. Therefore, He knows, as I say, He hears us. We pray because we love, and we love Him because He first loved us. And so may you be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray without ceasing, because you have a Heavenly Father who loves you, chosen you out of this world. Among the millions here, have you ever asked why, of so many millions and billions of people in the world, why did God choose you to be His son and His daughter? So may the Lord help us to follow in His footsteps of prayer. And may the Lord open heaven's window and pour forth a blessing upon you as you seek after Him. And not only, brothers and sisters, pray only for the physical needs. More so, pray for your spiritual needs. Pray for the church. Pray for one another. Believe in prayer. Believe in the power of prayer. If you do not believe in that, then pray for that. Pray that the Lord will help you to understand and to realize, to experience the power of prayer, the power of answered prayers. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, mighty God, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that You have opened this wonderful way of us, for us to come before Your holy presence, to come into Your throne room, just as we are. Oh, Father in heaven, we know that we do not deserve Your grace and Your mercy. We know that there is nothing good in us, no merit where we can claim to come before Your holy presence. But we thank You that You, in Your great mercy, have opened this door for us to come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so this evening, we come and we ask for Your blessing. We ask once again for Your forgiveness of our sins and our waywardness and our disobedience. And we pray that You will help us in our unbelief. Oh Lord, we pray that You will give us more faith. Increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our love and our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus. Help us not to look unto man, for man will fail us. But help us to look unto the Lord Jesus, who has called us out of darkness into His kingdom of light. And so we pray that You will help us to appropriate all the means of grace that You have so graciously accorded to us. Help us not to squander away our spiritual privileges, but help us to appropriate it to the praise and glory of Your holy name. Hear this our prayer. Amen.